I just love Scripture. This is Paul. He's writing to the church at Corinth, and listen to what he says. He says, man, I've made a fool of myself. I made a fool of myself. But I love this. This is how personal and how real the Bible is. I made a fool of myself, he said, but you drove me to it. Isn't it amazing? Paul was just a person just like us. And when you read these scriptures and you see the reality of a man who had seen the resurrected Christ and what he's writing and how he's writing and how personal it is, it lets us know how real God's word is. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you and praise you. And now, Lord, as we go into your word, we pray that you would allow your spirit to fill each one of us. Let us remove everything from our minds but you. Let us concentrate on you. Let us think about you. Let us think about nothing else. No Super Bowl, no Peyton Manning, no Cam Newton, but you. For you are our superstar. You are our hero. And we love you, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul was a tent maker. He earned his own way, and you know there had to be chaos in his life. He traveled, he prepared sermons, he preached, he set up churches, he gave direction to churches, he wrote letters, he stood up against governments, he tolerated those that hated him and wanted to persecute him and wanted to kill him. And he worked because he did not want to be a financial burden on the church. So you know, with all these things that he had going on, working and preaching and working against governments and speaking at governments and speaking with the religious leaders at that day, you know that there had to be chaos in his life. And you know what? I looked at normally what I do with a sermon, I'm done by Thursday or Friday with a sermon. I let it sit on Saturday, and Sunday morning I get up early and I go through the sermon again. I pray about it and I ask God if there's something he wants me to change. And as I was going through this sermon this morning and looking at the title, How to Find Happiness in Chaos, that's not the right title. It's How to Survive in Chaos. How to Survive in Chaos. Paul wrote the book of Philippians. And it's known as the book of joy. And there's some great verses in the book of Philippians. If you've not ever read the book, man, you ought to take it out and read it. It's really powerful. But some of my favorite scripture is found in Philippians, 4th chapter, verses 6 through 8. It says basically this. I don't want you to worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. But what I want you to do is pray about everything. And then I want you to be thankful for all things. Isn't that great? That's great advice, isn't it? Don't worry about anything, pray about everything, and give thanks for everything. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been like the Apostle Paul? Have you ever had chaos in your life? I have. And I want to share with you this morning on how we can survive during the times of chaos in our life. Over the past 3 weeks, I have had tremendous chaos. 3 weeks ago, I was in Mexico City. I had dinner with two different companies that we're looking at buying. And during these times that you're meeting with these companies, you're trying to explain to them why it's a good deal for them to sell to us and how we could merge and how it would benefit them. And here's the tough part for me. I have to be charming and professional. I'd rather have a puppet on my hand. That's not me. After Mexico City, I ended up going to Poland, and we're looking at building a plant in Poland. And we met with developers, and while I was there, it's a 20-hour flight by the time you leave your home to the time you get to your hotel. You go to work, you're dead tired. By the time that you're getting used to the time frame, it's time to come home. I got home on a Friday night late. Last week, Donnie preached for me. Thank you so much. Monday, I went to work. Tuesday, I flew out to San Francisco. Had a board dinner meeting Tuesday night. Had a board meeting on Wednesday. I got through early, so I thought I'll come home a day early. I got a late flight. I got home about 1:30 in the morning, Thursday morning. At the board meeting, This is what we go through. And I have to be intimate with every one of these pages of this presentation, because this presentation basically says how we've done for the month, how we've done for the year. It also tells a story about what our strategy is going forward. So I also have to be intimate with all these things. I've had chaos in my life over the last 3 weeks. Chaos. I know that you've had chaos too. If you're a working mom, I don't know how you do it. Don't know how you do it. If I had to work and raise a family on my own, couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. I know that there are those of you that are going to school. You're trying to get through school. You've got things that's going on in your life. You've got loved ones who are sick. You're trying to care for them and care for your family. We all have chaos in your life. I'm going to ask, no, I'm not. Don't raise your hand. But I'm sure there are those here this morning that are going through chaos. And this is what Paul says. Here's how you can survive when you've got chaos in your life. Look at Philippians 2:13. For it is God who what? To will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Okay. This is really neat. The word working in the Greek word is the same word that we get our word energy. So God is with us. He puts within us his energy. It's not our drive that gets us through. It's God who is giving us his energy. He lets us know what his will is. Then he gives us the energy to fulfill what he has called us to do. No matter how chaotic it gets, God gives us the energy to get through those times of chaos in our life. We don't drive ourselves. It's God who puts that drive, that energy within us. And here's what we should claim. God says, I will give you the power that you need no matter what you are facing. When we're going through those times in our life and times are just chaotic, everything seems to be just going crazy, we can grasp this promise that we have from God. God says, I will give you the power that you need no matter what you are facing. That's a great promise, isn't it? Isn't that a great promise? That's a great promise. Say amen. It's a great promise. If you're tired here this morning, take heart. God will re-energize you. If you're in chaos here this morning, take heart. You have a special power given to you by God that will let you face anything and get through it. Now, not only is God with us and energizing us, God is also in us. Look at John 14:18. This is Jesus speaking. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and not only is God with us, God is in us. What a promise that is. The Bible says that you are hid with Christ and God, and that you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that means? That means that nothing can separate us from God. Nothing. When chaos is all around us, things are falling apart. We got more than we can handle, more than we can do. God is in us. Nothing can separate us from God. Now, do you know who likes to work in our chaos and tries to separate us from God? Anybody want to take a guess? Who? The devil. He tries to make us feel weak. He tries to make us feel overwhelmed. He tries to destroy us. You know, that's what Satan really wants to do, don't you know? Satan wants to destroy the children of God. But to get to us, Satan has to go through God. He has to go through the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The other day we were FaceTiming Reese, and Reese had a new bedspread. It's a Minnie Mouse bedspread, and she was showing us her Minnie Mouse bedspread, and I was teasing her. I said, "That's not Minnie Mouse, that's Goofy." She said, "No, it's not. It's Minnie Mouse." I said, "No, it's Goofy." She said, "No, it's Minnie Mouse." I said, "No, it's Goofy." She said, "No, it's Minnie Mouse." I said, "You're Goofy." "No, I'm not Goofy, I'm Reese." And then a few Sundays ago, I was sharing with you about how blessed we are that she has started talking. You notice this morning, she's started to talk. And when she heard my name mentioned, heard her name mentioned, she listened. And she was looking at me as I was talking about her. And when I finished, she quietly said, "Granddaddy, I love you." My heart melted. You see, to get to Reese, you got to go through me. To get to Reese, you got to go through Justin. To get to Reese, you got to go through Grammy. To get to Reese, you got to go through Mama. To get to Reese, you have to go through the family. And that's what God is saying here. You know that God's heart melts every time we tell him that we love him. And for Satan to get to us, he has to go through God. And God is with us, and God is in us, and that's not going to happen. You see, often in chaos, I mess up. I don't know how about you, but I do. When things are chaotic and I'm feeling overwhelmed, I become extremely aggressive. I become very, what's the better word I'm looking for? I become aggressive. I say things without thinking about them. I do things that wouldn't normally do. I mess up. I say things without thinking. It just comes out. And then Satan comes to me and he says, "And you call yourself a preacher." Ever felt like that? You call yourself a Christian. He says, "You call yourself a preacher. You're a failure. You're not worth anything. You're worthless." But then I remember that God is with me and God is in me. And he tells me I'm a child. I'm not an adult. You ever read in the scripture where it says that we are an adult in God? I don't see that in my Bible. My Bible says I'm a child in God. And if I'm a child, then I'm going to mess up. And because I am a child, God is teaching me when I do mess up. And many times after I've gone through these situations where I've messed up, I've been overly aggressive, I said things I wished I hadn't said, I go back and I have to apologize. I humble myself. I eat crow. And through that apology, I'm showing love and I'm being humble as I go to that other person. And God is not only teaching me to be humble, he's also showing that other person that I'm showing love. And I'm being Christ-like. So when we're looking at God with us, he energizes us. And God in us, nothing can separate us. When we're chaotic, when we act like we shouldn't during that time of chaos, a way to survive is to remember that God is in you and you cannot be separated from God. And to get to us, Satan has to go through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not only is God with us and God is in us, God is for us. Look at Romans 8:31. If God is for us, read that last part for me. If God is for us, isn't that a great promise? Man, things are coming down. It's chaotic. I'm overwhelmed. But I know that God is for me and no one can defeat me. When I feel like I'm failing, God says, "I'm for you. I will help you. I will get you through." Wow. Think about this. The very person that put the stars in the sky, put the universe together, made it rotate all at the right time, and put everything in perfect harmony, the very one who established all of that is for me. He's behind me. He's in front of me. He's all around me. He's with me. He's in me. And he's for me. Not only has he put the universe in perfect harmony, he can raise people from the dead. He's raised every one of us who believe in him from the dead. Do you know that? We were all dead at one time. And God has put his spirit within us. He himself lives within us now because we know who he is. And we've told him, I love you. And it melted his heart. And he's now with us and he's in us and he's for us. So if you're going through chaos this morning, here's what we need to remember. God is with us, giving us the power to complete his purpose. God is in us. Nothing can separate us from him. And God is for us. If God is for me, I can do anything. So if you're going through chaos, if you're having difficulties as I have the last 3 weeks, see, this sermon's for me. I needed this sermon. I need to remember that God is with me and he is in me and he is for me. And I just thank God that he's there when I'm going through chaos. This is how to survive when you're going through chaotic times. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you so much and we praise you for being with us, in us, and for us. There is nothing like your presence in our life. We love you. We love you. And we thank you for loving us. And we thank you for giving us the energy to do your will. We thank you, Father, for being in us, that as we are going through these chaotic times, it feels like everything's coming down around our heads and our shoulders and we're sinking, that you are with us, that nothing can separate us, and that we know that you are for us, that you will get us through. You are awesome. And we love you. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that is going through some chaotic times, I pray, Father, that you would let your words sink deep within them. May they claim these promises that we have in you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar is open this morning if you're going through some chaotic times and you feel overwhelmed and you just want to leave that feeling of being overwhelmed here at the altar. Jesus is here this morning just for you. Won't you stand, please?
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My grace.
Angela have come this morning transferring their membership from a Baptist church to our Cumberland Presbyterian Church here in Mount Juliet. I have a few questions to ask both of you. I already know the answers, obviously, but for the congregation to approve you as members, do you both accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you believe that Jesus is God in the flesh? And that he stepped down from his throne, came to earth as a man, shed his blood, died, resurrected, lives today through his Holy Spirit in each one of us. Do you promise to support this church with all your efforts and with all your love?
Yes, sir.
Okay, congregation, as part of our family, will you promise to love them? Hug on them and accept them as part of our church family. If you do, say amen.
Amen.
Let me be the first to give you guys a hug. And I'll tell you, I will ask you to have a seat here. And then at the end of the service, if you'd come forward, then you guys can come down and give them a hug and welcome them to our congregation. So, won't you please? You may be seated. We are taking communion this morning. If the elders would come forward, please, I would appreciate it. Communion is a time that Jesus told us to celebrate. He told us that as we take the communion supper, that he is inviting us to partake in, that we should remember him. Remember all the things that he has done for us. Remember that this is God, God, who has stepped down from his throne, clothed himself in humanity, and he didn't come as a king. He didn't come as a priest. He came as a carpenter to build a bridge between us and himself. And through him and his reconciliation, our faith in him, we become children of God. I want you to remember this morning as we're taking communion that God is with us, that God is in us, and that God is for us. Say that with me. That God is with us, that God is in us, and that God is for us. And let's praise God for being within and for us. Donnie, would you read the scripture this morning, please?
Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is that I?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast said." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung unto him, they went out into the Mount of Olives.
Jesus asked the blessing before the meal. So won't you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for this meal that we are about to partake, the meal that you have invited us to partake in of your body and your blood. We remember you. We thank you. We love you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.